Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is the notion of your being able to reach optimum health, optimum wellness. We all want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life more, and that's what Healthy Alternatives is aiming to bring to you. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know more about because it can really have an impact on you. What I want to talk about this week is something that's in our seafood, that's in the water. It's called BMAA. BMAA is produced by a bacteria called cyanobacteria, and it's a blue-green algae that lives in soil, lakes, and oceans. And it's found in seafood. And there are blooms of this cyanobacteria that are becoming more and more common in the oceans. Now, to understand what BMAA is about, is you have to be thinking about ALS disease, which is paralysis of the body. You have to be thinking of Alzheimer's. And we're going to tell you a little story that goes back to half a century ago on the island of Guam. There was an outbreak of a strange syndrome that the natives called Latigo-Bodig. It means paralysis and dementia. Well, these were people who were experiencing ALS-like symptoms. They were experiencing the rigid posture of Parkinson's, and they were also getting Alzheimer's. At the peak of the epidemic in the 1950s, almost every household in the village had at least one afflicted member. The researchers came in and scientists came in and found that they were grinding up the people who lived on Guam, the natives, a plant called cycas. And they turned this into a flower that they would wind up eating. And it turns out that this flower contained this BMAA substance. And it was shown that it can kill motor nerve cells in the spine, the very ones that are destroyed by Alzheimer's. In addition, the natives of Guam like to eat a local fruit bat, and it turns out that this bat feasted on these cyad seeds, and so that they were full of this BMAA substance, and they actually hunted these bats to extinction, and then in effect the epidemic subsided. A guy named Paul Cox came along and decided to look more closely at this, and he collected from autopsies of 6 Chimeras who had died of this Latigo-Bodig disease, and he compared those samples with brain tissue from 15 Canadians who died of Alzheimer's. All 6 Chimeras' brains contained BMAA, and so did the 2 Alzheimer's brains from the Canadians. Turns out it's not the seeds that are doing it, but there are microbes that are in the plant's roots that are producing this toxic chemical. So BMAA doesn't bother everybody, but there are folks for who their bodies don't get rid of it, and it winds up actually crossing over into their brains and in effect creating what you start seeing in terms of Alzheimer's, ALS, in terms of death of nerve cells taking place. One of the problems going on, though, is with warmer waters happening, more runoff from sewage and agriculture, that there's more of this cyanobacteria coming in blooms on the ocean, and there are some species of fish and crabs that are more sensitive to this, pink shrimp, largemouth bass, and blue crabs. And one blue crab, as a matter of fact, had 7,000 parts per million, which is twice as much of the toxin as was found in the bats on Guam. So what we need to be looking at is understanding that the water we're drinking, the fish we're eating, and that's not to say don't eat fish because it's still rare, but we need to be aware of this, and the research that's continuing in this will hopefully be able to point out to us what we need to be aware of to avoid this type of disease. Today I'm going to be talking to a number one New York Times best-selling author. She's an expert on happiness, success, and unconditional love. Her newest book, Love for No Reason, 7 Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love, debuted at number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. She's author of 6 of the phenomenally successful Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul series. She sold more than 14 million copies worldwide. She's been on the New York Times bestseller list a total of 118 weeks. And she's done a PBS television special called Happy for No Reason. We're going to be talking to her in just a couple of minutes. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page or go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I also do a monthly e-newsletter that's, in effect, a companion to this show, looking at other things you can do from a health, nutrition, wellness standpoint. To find that on my website, you'll see the home button, you'll get a drop-down menu, and you can click on the free email newsletter. Every week I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's new discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. Because of the interview I'm going to be doing, I want to hold off and talk about this after the interview. So before I bring my guest on, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Marcy Sheimhoff. She is a number one New York Times best-selling author whose expertise is on happiness, success, and unconditional love. As a matter of fact, her newest book is Love for No Reason, 7 Steps to Creating a Life of Unconditional Love. It debuted on the New York Times bestseller list at number 3. Marcy's other books include the runaway bestseller Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out. She's done 6 Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Woman's Soul series, and those have been sold around the world. As a matter of fact, Marcy has sold 14 million books in 33 languages. She's been on the New York Times bestseller list for a total of 118 weeks, and she's probably one of the best-selling female
nonfiction authors of all time. And Marcy's a good friend. So, Marcy, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Well, thank you, Jerry. I'm delighted to be here with you. And I want everyone to know that you actually have been a part contributing to those 14 million books sold, because I work with you on a consulting basis to guide me in the design of the book covers and in making sure that the books are appealing to people in the right way.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And it's fun to work with her, by the way.
Well, so, you've been terrific. So thank you.
So enough of these accolades.
Okay.
Let's get to the real reason you're here. It's love. Okay. So you wrote the book, Love for No Reason. Why did you write the book, Marcy?
Well, I had just finished Happy for No Reason, which was a book about experiencing unconditional happiness. And the reason I wrote that is that I wasn't happy. I had everything I thought I wanted in life, and it still wasn't enough. I felt like something was missing inside. So I interviewed a whole bunch of people about happiness and how to be happier, and I applied what they had told me, and it worked. I was happier. I'd say I actually went from a D-plus in happiness to an A-minus. So that was pretty significant. Now, when I was done with Happy for No Reason, I did a little more soul searching, and I said, okay, what do I want more than happiness? And there was only one thing, and that's love. You know, ultimately, I think that love is what we all want more than anything. And so I decided I would do the same thing with love that I had done with happiness. I would interview people who are masters of this, and I would start practicing what they did and see if it worked. And I want to clarify, Jerry, that when I talk about love for no reason, or love in this case, I'm not talking about relationship love, though it applies to your relationships. I talk about living in a state of love. So love as how you experience life, that you walk through your days experiencing love rather than, oh, I'm in love with somebody. Not that that's a bad thing, but that you know, when you fall in love, you also fall out of love. So we're talking about a love that lasts.
So would you say love is kind of the graduate school after you got the A-minus in happiness?
Yes, exactly. That's a great way of putting it. Love is, and what I found is that when you master love, not that I've mastered love, I'm certainly still a student of it, but when you have mastered love, you've mastered everything there is in life, because what comes along with it, the fringe benefits are quite remarkable. And this is, I think, a really important distinction. When I'm talking about love, I don't mean some airy-fairy kind of thing. I'm not talking about something that is, although it seems abstract, it's actually based in the body. It's in the physiology. You know, when you are experiencing a higher state of love, it's measurable to a great degree. You have different brain activity. You have different heart rhythm patterns. You have different biochemistry, more oxytocin and serotonin and endorphins. So this is
Marcy,
hold on.
Marcy, hold on a second. So how are the brain waves and the heart rate patterns changing from what you've seen research-wise?
So one of the top researchers in this field are a group called the Institute of Heart Math, and they have done huge amounts of research on the heart and on love and how it affects our health and how it affects our lives. And they've shown that when you are feeling love, care, compassion, your heart will go into what's called heart rhythm coherence, which means you can actually see this on a computer screen. They have a program that you can buy, in fact, to look at and to train yourself to go into heart rhythm coherence. And what you see is that your heart rhythms will be very smooth and look like beautiful waves on the computer. When you're feeling angry or upset or in fear, you will go into heart rhythm incoherence, which shows very jagged and erratic kinds of lines. That's one of the ways that you can tell when you are in a greater state, a deeper state of love. Now, wonderfully, they have this practice. It's a tool. It's called the M Wave. That's either a handheld tool or a computer program that you can train yourself to go into this heart rhythm coherence. And I use that all the time. I love it as one of the tools. What I found is, Jerry, this is what's so cool about being alive, I think, right now on the planet, is that there are lots of tools and techniques and practices that help us get more in this state, what one of the researchers I interviewed, Eva Selhub, calls the love response.
There's an interesting study that was done on the kind of the reverse side of the impact, Marcy. It was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. What they did is they all had patients with pre-existing heart disease to the extent they needed defibrillators planted. So these were like real sick puppies. And what they did is they had them think of something that made them angry, and they were all wired up to EKG machines to measure their heart rate, and it caused an immediate jump in their EKG. Now, the interesting part was those folks who had the biggest anger spike were 10 times more likely to need defibrillation in the next 3 years. So it's kind of like what's hitting you now in terms of are you on the happy side or the love side, or are you on the negative and angry side, is really affecting you from a long-term standpoint.
Wow. Well, you know, you know, sort of another study that I think goes along with what you just mentioned is that HeartMath has found that if you are angry for 5 minutes, it will suppress your immune system for 6 hours. But if you are feeling love for 5 minutes, it will strengthen your immune system for 6 hours.
So if you're gonna do a goddamn make sure you've got a clear 6 hours after.
That's right. That's right. Or make sure you have tools that can move you from the anger into the love. And you know what, Jerry, I'd love to do a quick practice with everybody that can give them a sense of what we're talking about. Can we do that?
Absolutely. Take it away.
Great. So this is a practice that I learned from HeartMath. It's called the Inner Ease Technique. And it's something that you can use anytime during your day to move you from the stress response to the love response. And we all know what the stress response is. You're driving in traffic and you're late for an appointment, or you're sitting in a business meeting and somebody is completely aggravating you. You're in the stress response. So simple technique. It's 3 steps. And I ask you to do this along with us. Jerry, I want you to do it, because when we're done, I'm going to ask you to share with us what your experience was in doing it. So unless you're driving, please do this with us, okay? And you can do this with your eyes opened or closed. So 3 simple steps. I, by the way, prefer it with my eyes closed. I find I can go a little bit deeper. So the first step is to simply put your hand over your heart, just the palm of your hand over the center of your chest where your heart is.
Doesn't matter which hand?
Doesn't matter which hand.
Okay.
Now, that simple act starts the release of a hormone called oxytocin. And oxytocin is dubbed the love hormone, because it's what we feel when we feel bonded with each other. It's actually what mothers have more oxytocin when they give birth or when they're breastfeeding. We have more oxytocin when we're making love. But just putting your hand over your heart like this starts the release of oxytocin in your own system. Now, the second step is to imagine that you are breathing in and out through your heart. So you can just picture or feel that your breath is coming out through the center of your chest where your hand is, through your heart area. And some people do better picturing it. Some people do better feeling it. It doesn't matter. In any way you can, just imagine that breath, your inhale and exhale coming in and out through the heart. And now finally, the third step is on each inhale, I want you to imagine that you're breathing in love. You're breathing in ease and compassion. And you can exhale normally, just a regular exhale, but on each inhale, breathe in through the center of your chest. Breathe in love and ease and compassion. And exhale normally. And one more time, breathe in love, compassion. Feel that in your heart. And exhale. And if your eyes are closed, you can open up your eyes. You can take your hand away. And that was less than a minute and a half. That was very, very quick. Tell me, Jerry, how do you feel differently now than you felt before we started this? I take it that's
a snore. That was a snore. Relaxed. And,
you feel relaxed.
Relaxed and lighter and uplifted.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, and you know, different people have different experiences. Most everyone feels some relaxation. Some people feel more balanced or centered. Some people actually feel a little warmth in their heart area, or even a liquid flow through their heart area. Now, here's what's important. doing that for a minute and a half may feel good, but it's not going to really create much change. What will create change in your life is if you do this 3 or 4 times a day for the next couple weeks. What you'll find is that you start to habituate the love response. You'll start to make that a more of your default state. So what I ask is, or suggest or invite you to do, is to use your own life as an experiment. And over the next couple weeks, just 3 or 4 times during the day, randomly, you know, when you're standing in line at the grocery store, when you're sitting in a frustrating business meeting, or when you're just watching a little TV, do this. And notice, you know, in a couple of weeks of doing this, if you don't start to feel a little bit more open to receiving and giving love in your life.
So before we continue, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with my guest, Marcy Shymoff, in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of Shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Marcy Shymoff. She's a number one New York Times bestselling author. She's an expert on happiness, success, and unconditional love. Her newest book, Love for No Reason, 7 Steps to Creating an Unconditional Love, was debuted at number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. You can actually find that at thelovebook.com. Her other runaway bestsellers have been Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out. She's done 6 Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul books. She's written, has sold 14 million copies worldwide. And she's probably the number one best-selling female nonfiction author of all times. And she's also hosted a PBS television special called Happy for No Reason. And we're talking to her about love. And so my question for you, Marcy, is how would you define unconditional love for folks?
So unconditional love is an inner state of love that doesn't depend on a person or a situation or a romantic partner. It's living in a state of love. It's, you know, most of us have been taught, or our society has taught us, that love is a stream of energy between two people. And so we think that when we think of love that way, we become love beggars. We walk around with our little cups going up to people saying, here, give me love, or let's exchange some love. Unfortunately, those cups have holes in them, and it doesn't really end up being satisfying.
Some people would then say it's a holy cup.
Yeah, holy cup. Right. So what we're missing is that we are love. And when we experience that, then we know it's like we're the ocean of love. We naturally overflow in love. And rather than being a love beggar, we become a love philanthropist. So what we need to do is we need to remove the blocks to the experience of our essential state as love. And it's actually quite practical. I came up with 14 practical things that anyone can do to experience an open heart, to live in this state of love, no matter what's going on in their life. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that your life is perfect. You still may have challenges in your health or in your money or in relationships, but when you live in this state of love, those challenges are more easy to deal with, and you end up attracting better situations in your life.
Can you give us an example of one or two of those 14 pieces that you have in the book?
Yeah, the 14 keys. Well, probably for me, one of the most important is forgiveness. We cannot experience the expanded state of love when we're still holding on to grudges or resentment, when we haven't been able to forgive. And a lot of people say to me, well, oh, but what the person did to me was so wrong, I can't forgive. Forgiving doesn't mean that you're condoning their behavior. It means that you are letting go to the extent that your life is affected. That doesn't even mean you need to let that person back into your life. It just means that you are coming to a place of peace and forgiveness inside, and that serves you. And there's actually quite a lot of research done on how forgiveness affects our health. So I want to share with you what I believe is one of the most powerful techniques for forgiveness that I've learned. It's very simple. And if you have a piece of paper and a pen, you're going to want to write these four phrases down, because this technique is called Ho'oponopono. And it is based on, the good news is that it's easier to do than it is to say.
And it's also based, Hawaiian.
Yes, it's Hawaiian. It's based on a kahuna Hawaiian tradition. And here are the four phrases. They are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And what you do is you sit with, you don't even say those to the person you're angry at. You sit with those four phrases in your heart, wishing those towards the person or the situation that you're angry at, or towards yourself. If you find that you have some self-judgment, self-anger, self-criticism, you can do it towards yourself. And I'll tell you, I've seen miracles happen with people using this. And I'll just share with you an example of what's happened in my own life using this practice.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, my sister and I got in an argument and we weren't talking to each other. And this had never happened in our family, but I was really stubborn. She was mad at me for something. I didn't think I deserved it. And I thought, how dare she? And I'm not going to talk to her. And, you know, I was really stuck in my anger. And about 3 months into this silence treatment between us, our family gathered to move our mother from our family home of 58 years to an assisted living apartment. And the morning of the move, my whole family was there unpacking, and I came, my sister was there, everyone was there, and I was the last one to arrive, and I greeted everyone except my sister. I ignored her, didn't say hello, didn't hug her, nothing. Well, about 3 hours of unpacking and the silence treatment between me and my sister became almost unbearable for me. So I decided to go to my car to take a break. And on my way to the car, I remembered Ho'oponopono. So I thought, okay, I'm going to just sit in my car for a few minutes and I'm going to send this wish to her. So I sat in the car. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And after about 10 minutes of this, my heart melted. And I realized that my sister wasn't angry at me for what had happened 3 months earlier, but it was a lifetime of stuff. And I felt I understood where she was coming from and I had compassion for her. So I went back into the apartment feeling completely different, but I didn't say anything to anybody. Well, Jerry, it was amazing because within about 4 minutes of being back in the apartment, my sister came over to me out of the blue and grabbed me by the hand and said, come on, Marcy, let's go unpack mom's closet together. Now, that just shocked me, and it was the beginning of a complete opening between the two of us that really shifted our relationship. And I am so happy that happened at that time, because 9 months later, my sister and I found ourselves standing in that same closet of my mother's. This time, we were packing up her clothes because she had just passed away. Now, I don't know what would have happened had, I can't imagine what it would have been like had my sister and I hung on to that anger and resentment. So I know that everyone listening has someone or something for whom they have not really let go of or forgiven. And so I invite you to just practice this and see for yourself whether you have any changes, any shifts that happen.
How do you answer somebody who says, you know, you sort of started saying it, but it wasn't my fault. They're right. The ones who did it to me. Why should I say I'm sorry? And why should I ask them to forgive me? They're the jerks who screwed this whole situation up.
Well, first of all, coming to that life with that kind of perspective puts you in a victim role. And anytime we are in a victim role, it's bad for us. It's bad for our health. And as I said earlier, forgiving them does not mean you're condoning what they did. It doesn't mean you're saying that what they did was right. It doesn't even mean you're saying it's okay that you want to have them back in your life in any particular way. What it means is that you are finding a place of release or forgiveness in your own heart that's good for you, because there's always some level of something that we perhaps even subconsciously did to draw that to ourselves. I believe that, you know, the law of attraction says that everything in the universe is made up of energy, and we're constantly drawing to us things based on our energetic vibration. Now, many of these energetic vibrations that we're sending out are very unconscious. So we're, of course, not asking for bad things to happen consciously. But when we release them in our heart, we set up a different energetic system. So we not only heal what's happened, but we attract better things to us in the future.
Marcy, are you finding men and women reading this book reacting differently to it?
What a great question, Jerry. You know, I will say that more women have been reading the book, but the men that have been reading it, I've been getting unbelievable feedback from. They have just been telling me how this not only is changing their relationships, their personal relationships, but it's also changing their relationships in the workplace. So the principles that we're talking about here relate to all areas of our life. They relate because when you start shifting how you experience life, then the world starts reacting to you differently.
Yeah, because I don't think men would view taking love into the workplace other than, you know, a coworker type of love as even a thought that they would even do that.
Well, it's so interesting because, I mean, let me give you an example. If you have to take your dry cleaning into two different dry cleaners, they're right next door to each other, and their prices are the same, and their quality is the same. But when you walk in, one of them is happy, you feel loved, you feel welcomed, and the other, it's just like, okay, you know, it's just perfunctory. Which one are you going to go back to?
The happy.
To do business, because love is contagious. It makes us feel better. So when I talk about bringing love into the workplace, it's not that you're, you know, gushing and you're not being Hallmark card kind of mushy. You are experiencing love inside, and the people around you feel it. They want to be around you more.
Now, is it selfish to want to focus on experiencing more love in your life?
It's a really great question, Jerry. And people often ask me, you know, this isn't this selfish. And the truth is that when you experience more love, it spreads to the people around you, to your family, to the workplace, to the community. And ultimately, I believe it's what we each can do to best contribute to our world. And I love, there's a Chinese proverb I'd love to share that sums up, I believe, that and why it's so important, why I'm so passionate about each of us feeling more love. And the proverb goes like this. It says, "When there is light in the soul, there will be beauty in the person. When there is beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the house. When there is harmony in the house, there will be order in the nation. And when there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world." And my prayer and my wish for every one of us who's listening is that we feel the love in our own hearts. And through that, we help contribute to greater peace here on this planet of ours.
So hopefully we've added some peace to the world with this interview with you, Marcy. And for people who want to get her book, you can go to thelovebook.com. It's Love for No Reason, 7 Steps for Creating a Life of Unconditional Love.
And if you Marcy, do go there, by the way, there are 12 great free bonus gifts that you get when you get the book. And they're fantastic.
Great. And tell us the other site, because you've got a course on happiness, I think.
Yes,
right?
For people who are interested in my personal learning course on happiness, it's 7 weeks to a greater happiness. You can go to happyfornoreason.com/holiday. And with that, it gives you a huge discount. Normally, the course is $248, but for people listening today, it's $150 off. So that would only be $98. And I've had people who are very depressed, any levels of unhappiness, do this program, and they're finding remarkable results.
And that's happyfornoreason.com/holiday. So, Marcy, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Well, Jerry, it's always great to be with you. Thanks.
Since we were talking to Marcy about love and happiness, in this part of Healthy Breakthrough that I just told you I was going to hold until now. And again, Healthy Breakthrough are those new discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, family, and loved ones. So what I want to talk about is meditation. And there's research now showing that you can actually use meditation to strengthen the brain circuits associated with happiness and positive behavior. Richard Davison is a trained psychologist based at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and in effect, he's become a leader of a new field called contemplative neuroscience, and that is the brain science of meditation. What they found is that meditation can actually make permanent changes in the brain for the better. Making a habit of meditation can strengthen these brain circuitries responsible for maintaining concentration and also generating empathy. One study that Richard Davis's team did found that novice meditators, they stimulated their limbic system. This is the brain's emotional network, doing a particular meditation they were looking at called compassion meditation, which is an ancient Tibetan Buddhism practice. The study found, though, that expert meditators, these are monks who had more than 10,000 hours of practice, actually showed even greater activation of their limbic system, and it appeared that they had permanently changed their brain to be more empathetic. An earlier study of some, by the same researchers found that committed meditators experience sustained baseline brain function, meaning that they had really changed the way their brains operated when they were not meditating. So what we're talking about is them actually increasing more positive emotions in an area of the brain on the called the left-sided anterior region, and they actually in effect shut off a part of the brain that governs our orientation in time and space called the superior parietal lobe. In effect, it actually kind of went dark. It shut off during the meditation process. So the experienced meditators were increasing prefrontal cortex activity, and that's also the area of the brain where we house attention. It's in effect, it really increased the activity there as well. The National Institutes of Health is actually helping establish this new contemplative science by setting up centers in Stanford University, Emory University, and the University of Wisconsin. So in one of my books, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change, in about 8 pages, I tell you everything you need to know about meditating, including the techniques. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.